If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Well, cancer treatments are the same for everybody. Sometimes you have to test the drugs on humans till you find the right one. In the meantime, people can get sicker. But now there's a personalized solution that finds the right drug for the specific cancer in a single person. Dr. David Sadransky is an oncologist and research scientist. In fact, he was named in profile by Time Magazine as one of the top physicians and scientists in America, recognized for his groundbreaking work with early detection of cancer. And he's here to tell us today about Champions Tumor Graft. Doc, thanks for coming on today for the show with Dr. Mike. What is Champions Tumor Graft?
Great, thanks. It's great to be on the show. So tumor graft is basically a piece of tumor from a patient that's implanted into a mouse. That's kind of the scientific approach. The more commonly used wording is a mouse avatar, where we basically create an avatar, a representation of that patient's tumor, essentially in a mouse or a mouse model.
All right, here's Dr. Mike as you guys get into detail. Dr. Mike.
David, this is interesting, and it relates to the personalization or of treatment. That is, treating a throat cancer or head and neck cancer or a breast cancer is not the same from one person to the other. Talk to us a little bit about personalization.
Sure. So personalization is really something we've come to understand over the last few decades. Drugs were originally developed in oncology, like many other diseases, as kind of one-size-fits-all. So basically developed a drug or a drug combination protocol and said, you know, we're going to treat 100 patients the same. We found out that obviously wasn't great because many patients did not respond and everybody would get potentially the same side effects. We tried for a long time to figure out how to personalize it, understand what's different between one person's tumor and another. Molecular biology and research helped define groups a little bit differently to help understand what drugs might help one person and another. But really now, in the last few years, there's just been a tremendous focus in trying to split a given type of cancer, like a breast cancer or a lung cancer, into very specific groups of patients so you can find the right drug for the right group.
And what makes this different from, for example, growing a tumor in a cell culture, that is, in a in vitro? In other words, we've never seen a bumper sticker save the mice, but in fact, is this seems like it must be more difficult than just growing it in culture. Is it much better than growing it in culture?
Right. Dr. Mike, that's a great question. And basically, one of the first approaches as people thought about personalizing or trying to figure out which drug might work was, in fact, culturing cancer cells in petri dishes or in plastic. That was started probably now almost 20 or 30 years ago, and it made a lot of sense. People said, you know, you can grow bacteria in a plastic dish, test a different antibiotic, and find out which one works. The only problem is that it took us a long time to figure out that it wasn't predicting correctly. We were able to grow the cells only sometimes. And when they did grow, it seemed like the drugs that worked in the plastic dish weren't working on the patient. And that's exactly the problem. The problem is that growing cells in plastic is not the way cells grow in the body. You need essentially a biologic or living incubator. And the real breakthrough here is that we were able to take the entire piece of tumor, not only the cancer cells, but all the other cells that make up a tumor mass, and implant it into a mouse. And to a great surprise, it actually was able to grow, and we were able to propagate it. Once we were able to do that, we were able to get essentially the tumor, the same tumor that was growing in the patient, to grow essentially in the living mouse. And that changed everything. Because once we were able to do that, we found that testing the drug on the tumor in the mouse gave us the same results, or nearly identical results, that we were seeing when we were treating patients in the clinic.
Now, how does this, when you do this, you're already involved probably in conventional therapy and usual therapies, such as these large protocols. How does this add to it or subtract to it, or what do you, when do you introduce this to the patient, and is this available to all patients, and how do they find out about it? And then the question we've already had on the email line was, who pays for this?
Right, right. All great questions. So let's start a little bit in terms of what happens to and how do we get a tumor graft. So the situation is usually that a patient is diagnosed with an aggressive primary cancer. That means the tumor is large, has already spread some distance. There's great concern between the surgeon and the treating physicians that maybe this tumor has a good chance of recurring. Or sometimes the tumor is already metastasized, has already left the primary site. So for example, in breast cancer, may have already gone to the lungs, and actually we take a piece of tumor from the lungs and implant it as well. That's the usual situation where we get the implantation, where there's a very high chance.
So these are not usually uncomplicated tumors, but they're already spread tumors.
These are tumors which have a high potential to recur or are already metastasized. So, correct. So for those tumors where they're small, there's a great chance of cure once they've had surgery, this is not an appropriate technique. It's either for tumors that have a high chance of recurrence or are already metastasized. It also takes time. So we need the tumor fresh, which is one of the limitations of the technology. They have to be alive because we're going to grow them in the mouth. So we need to take either a live piece of tumor from surgery or a live biopsy. That's one limitation. And we'd like to implant it in the same day if we can to make sure that there's a good chance that the tumor will take in the mouth. The second issue then is the patient therefore has to go through other conventional treatment until this graft grows and is ready to be tested. And that can take anywhere from 3 to 4 months. So usually what happens is that patients will go through standard protocols, and especially in the metastatic disease setting, we call it first line, which means it's just the first line of attack. And they'll go through the standard protocol, and then when it's time for the second line of attack, if the tumor continues to grow or is not responding anymore, which is very common in metastatic disease, then they go through what we call mouse-directed therapy or avatar-directed therapy. This is appropriate for almost all solid tumors, breast, lung, head and neck, pancreas, colon, you name it, we've been able to grow them with great success. And the results are pretty much the same, which is when we find a drug or a drug combination that works on the mouse avatar, there's a greater than 90% chance that drug or drug combination will work in the patient.
And now on the working in the patient, if you will, what does that mean? Does that mean, and now, we've gotten a couple questions actually from our email line. Anyone can send us email questions at udocs@gmail.com. But one of the questions on the email line is, in fact, relates to, does this mean, since it's needed to be fresh, does this mean that the has to be done at a specific location, since obviously fresh means it's got to get there within a day to be able to grow? And the second thing is, do most insurance companies pay for this now?
Right, both very good questions. So, yeah, the fresh is an issue. So, generally speaking, we like to get patients close to what we call implantation centers, where we have mice ready to do implantations. Right now in the East Coast, we have them set up in Baltimore, which is in the Biotech Park, right next to Hopkins, where we started. And we are expanding to a center now on the West Coast, hopefully very soon, to be able to provide services on both coasts. You can, kind of in the special media, we have a special plastic container of media, where you can take the biopsy or the surgery material, put it into this container, and send it overnight. There's a slightly lower chance that it'll take if it goes through the overnight shipping, but it's still a pretty good chance. You know, it's still approaching 60 to 70% that we can still get that tumor to grow.
When we come back, David, we're
going to...
When we come back, we have a hard break now, but when we come back, we're going to talk about cost and about where this goes from here in testing for personalization of tumors. Joe?
Thank you, Dr. Mike, 877-711-5211. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.